whom all hearts opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your heart through faith.
Amen. Amen.
Lead on, O King Eternal.
Hallelujah.
your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amid the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Our first reading will be from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is an example of an apocalyptic lecture, a literature, which is full of strange visions and symbolism. Arising during times of great persecution, apocalyptic literature is concerned with God's revelation about the end time and the coming kingdom of God, when God will vindicate the righteous who have been persecuted. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the prosecutor of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since the nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky. Those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 16 responsively. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all others.
All my delight is in the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take their names upon my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
My heart therefore is glad and my spirit rejoices. My body shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second reading is from Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Images of worship and sacrifice are used throughout Hebrews to highlight what Christ has uniquely accomplished through his death. Because we have received forgiveness through Christ's death, we live with sincere hearts by trusting in God's promises and encouraging love and good works from one another. Every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ has offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the God. And since then he has been waiting until his enemies would make a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering has perfectly for all time those who are sanctified. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new living way that he opened us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering, and he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together. Is a habit as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more that you see the day approaching. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
That the disciples are basically small town boys. They grew up in small villages around the Sea of Galilee. And so when they go to Jerusalem and they see the temple, they are awed. So as Jesus comes out of the temple, the disciples say to him, "Look, see, teacher, all of these large rocks and these large buildings." Jesus said to him, "You see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left standing upon the other. All will be torn down." Now there's a break in this gospel, and we need to realize that the temple is, on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, is the highest place in the city. And from there, you can see across, down the Kidron Valley, across to the Mount of Olives, which is where they will go. So it's a few miles that they have to walk to get there. And when they get there, they sit down, probably under the shade of an olive tree, and Peter, James, John, and Andrew come to Jesus and say, "Tell us when this will be. What are the signs that this is about to be accomplished?" Jesus said to them, "Beware that you're not led astray. For many will come and say, you know, in my name, 'I am he.' And many will be led astray." So when you hear about rumors of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. These must take place. But that is not the end. The end is still to come. Nations will rise up against nations, and kingdoms will rise up against kingdoms. And there will be earthquakes in many places. And there will be famines. But these are but the beginning of the birth pangs. That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, before we begin with talking to you, I want to talk to the kids. So, kids, come on up here. All right. Super. I'll sit down here. All right. Well, does anybody here know how to make cookies? Have you ever helped make cookies? Have you? Maybe you could tell me how to make cookies, could you? Well, when you got this batter all mixed up, right? And then you make it into little balls or something like that. Do you do that? Isn't that fun?
Yeah, and
you flatten it? Right. And then what do you do with it? You put it on a pan, okay? And then put sprinkles on that right away, or do you wait till you get them out of the oven? So you put them in the oven, you close the oven door, and you immediately open the oven door and take them back out, right? Are they all done? That fast? Do you have to? You don't have to wait for them? No? I like his cookie method. You're going to have to make cookies for me, because I'm in a hurry to eat them too, but sometimes you put them in the oven and you have to wait until they get done. Right? Your sister knows that. And what happens while you're waiting? You get really hungry because you smell those cookies, right? And you're ready to eat them. And then you can put the sprinkles on, right?
The chocolate.
Okay, we're going to get chocolate on them for sure. Fantastic. Well, there are some things that we have to wait for. Do you have to wait for Christmas? Does it take forever? 365 days you've been waiting for Christmas. Why?
Or 366 if you're really unlucky.
Right. But we're going to say that Christmas is coming. Right? So what do we do while we wait?
We do stuff and
things. Do stuff and things, yeah. Do we clean things up?
We get ready for it.
Yeah. You bake cookies? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. So you can smell Christmas, right? Well, Jesus was telling us in the gospel, telling his disciples in the gospel, that there are all kinds of things that happen around us. But we just have to wait, because it's just the beginning of something really good. Just like
special.
And special, just like those cookies. And we know that those cookies are going to be good because we can smell them. We can almost taste them.
You shape like Christmas.
Do you shape? You make them like Christmas trees and things like that? Stuff? Christmas stuff. That covers a whole bunch of things, doesn't it? All right. Well, let's say thank you to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for cookies. Thank you for the smell that they give us, and they remind us that your gifts are coming to us. And we thank you for Christmas, and we ask your blessing as we wait for that day, baking cookies and doing all kinds of stuff. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. I don't know about the rest of you, but there were times when our kids, you would think they couldn't read a calendar because they would be waiting and waiting and waiting and asking us again and again, how soon is it going to be Christmas? Even if we put it on a calendar, they didn't quite get the idea because time just seemed to go so slow. Anybody here who has ever built a house, and we have a few builders with us, has probably heard again and again and again, when will it finally be done? Or when will the plumber finally get the plumbing done or the electrician get the electricity in place? We wait and we wait and it seems like we have to wait forever. Wow. But even when we know and it's on a calendar, sometimes we're not ready. You know? We can be warned that something is about to happen. But if we don't pay attention, some bad things could happen. In 1906, the people of San Francisco were warned that the ground on which they built their beautiful city was unstable. But they didn't listen. And over 3,000 people died in that earthquake. We saw something similar happen in Mid Asia, where a tsunami was predicted. They were told ahead of time, it's coming, get out of the way. And yet, amazingly, you see videos and pictures, people taking pictures of this big wall of water. And 220,000 people died. And more recently, our son was in the Army when he was sent to down to Katrina, New Orleans. They were warned that Katrina was coming. And yet, still, thousands of people died because they were holding on to what they believed was theirs. They were not about to let go of their possessions or anything else, and in the process lost their lives. And right now, there are fires in California, and we're hearing the same kind of thing. Where I saw this morning that I think the number was 76 are confirmed dead, and there are over 1,200 that are missing. They wouldn't heed the warnings. But it's nothing new. In the Bible, we read about the prophets warning people that if they don't change their ways, bad things are going to happen. Prophets like Hosea and Amos and some of those prophets, Elijah and Elisha, were in that category too, warning the people of the northern kingdom, Israel, that if they didn't change their ways and return to being the people God had chosen, it would be bad. And in 721 B.C., Ashurbanipal came down from Assyria, devastated the land and carried most of the important residents into exile, from which they never returned. A couple hundred years later, you would think the people of the south would have learned from what happened to the people of the north, because prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and a few of the other minor prophets also warned that if the people did not change their ways, bad things would happen. And sure enough, in 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came from Babylon, devastated the land, and took some of the people into exile. Once again, the prophet stepped up and said, pay attention, return to being the people of God that he has chosen you to be. Because if you don't, more bad stuff is going to happen. I like your word, stuff. And 10 years later, Nebuchadnezzar came back with a vengeance and literally wiped the city clean, carrying back more people into exile and destroying the temple so badly that even today they don't know where the Holy of Holies was. It was that bad. A good religious Jew, even today, will not go up on the Temple Mount because they're afraid they might step on it. And Daniel, which was read this morning, is another prophet who is probably writing about a specific situation back in his day, but gives us warnings that, yes, we are called to be the people of God, but sometimes there is always the question of, where are they? When will they ever learn? Where have all the chosen gone? Long time passing. Where have all the chosen gone? Long time ago. Where have all the chosen gone? Gone to worship other gods. When will they ever learn? When will we ever learn? In the book of Hebrews, the writer tells the people of God who are in the early church to remain faithful to God, because God is faithful to them, to remain part of his covenant people, and to continue to worship and to study God's word so they will know what it is that God wants them to do. And still, with all of those warnings, with all of those urgings, people tend to pull away and kind of get lax about being the faithful people of God. So, where have all the faithful gone? Long time passing. Where have all the faithful gone? Long time ago.
the faithful God, gone to selfishness and sin. When will they ever learn? When will we ever learn?
That was part of the message that Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples. Listen carefully to that message. Because Jesus is saying, you know, you're going to have these signs around you. And there are going to be those who are going to lead you astray. And sadly, there are so many prophets out there trying to do that very same thing. Trying to tell us they know when it's going to happen. They know where it's going to happen. They know all of the details. And get all people all riled up in the wrong direction. When Jesus says, well, you've got all of these signs around you. They're going to happen all the time. Wars, rumors of wars. Don't get upset about them. Accept them as some part of what human nature is like. But Jesus says, they're just the birth pains of what is to come. Now, most of you probably have figured it out, but I've never given birth to a baby. But I know of some people who have, and many of you have done that. And most of you would say the birth pangs were not fun. But the end result was what it made it worthwhile. The end result is what was good. So we are called not only to be God's chosen people and God's faithful people, we are called to be God's thankful people. Thankful that God has led us through all of these calamities and will be with us always, never leaving us, caring for us, loving us, and leading us on to the future. I've often wondered, you know, when you hear some of these predictions, you know, if the Mayans or the or Nostradamus, or some of the later prophets who have said, we know when the end is coming. I've often wondered if they knew something that even the Son of God didn't know. Because Jesus said, nobody knows when that's going to happen, not even the Son of Man. So, don't let them lead you astray. The Left of Behind series is probably a good example of that. That direction that is trying to lead us into things we should not be doing. We are being called back to being thankful that God is really in control and that He has the direction for us to follow. To be thankful. So where have all the thankful people been? Where have all the thankful gone? Long time passing, if you know the singing along with me. Where have all the thankful gone? A long time ago. Where have all the thankful gone? Gone to apathy and grief. When will they ever learn? When will they be His chosen people, where we are. God calls us to be His faithful people, following His commands, following His direction. God calls us to be the thankful people. So this Thanksgiving, remember to give thanks for all that God has done, that Jesus has been with us and will be with us even through the birth pains, that will lead to something even greater than anything we can imagine. That's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
With the people of God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Gracious God, you made the church through the working of the Holy Spirit, and you provide the assurance of faith through your Son. Guide us in our proclamation of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You created all things and said your creation was good. Protect land and water from harm. Cause all living things to thrive and raise up stewards for the well-being of creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You desire peace for the whole world. Provide refuge for those in harm's way. Bring an end to war and instill in political leaders the love for all that comes from you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You reveal your compassion through caregivers, advocates, and medical professionals. Heal the sick, deliver the suffering, bind up the brokenhearted, provide shelter for the homeless and food for the hungry. We pray especially for those we need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You bless us in our coming and our going, in our waking and our sleeping, and in our daily work. Make our love and good deeds a reflection of the freedom you give us in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You grant us everlasting life through the witness of your saints who now rest in the Lord. Inspire us in our lives of faithful service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear our prayers spoken and silent, that we commend to you this day, trusting in your abundant mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Christ, peace, buddy. I'm waffling that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. And the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. Thank you. Stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray.
God
of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh,
just remind you to sign up for one of my famous visits, if you haven't done that already. And the other thing is that St. Luke's is responsible for the service at Amy Holt today. So if anybody wants to come over and join me at 1 o'clock, please do. So now, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.